The kingdom of heaven is like. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, what is it like, heaven? You know, not the least of the undeserved benefits of last Tuesday's election. Thank you for your prayers for that intention as well. Perhaps it was just that rosary procession in October that turned the course of events for our country. Who knows? But surely it marked our deliverance from yet another wicked, corrupt, immoral, and inept political dynasty. Do any of you remember the palmy days of President Clinton in the 1990s? They used to use a phrase in Washington back then, FOB, they would say about somebody, friends of Bill, to describe his cronies and his bag men, hangers-on, and some true believers who came from Arkansas to the Capitol with him. In time, it came to mean just about anybody who bought his way into the Clinton inner circle, later on by a donation to the foundation. During the years that Hillary was in charge of the State Department, officials there would inquire about a name that came in asking for something or another, and they would say, "Is he at FOB?" Because of what they gave, those corporations or countries even, in the millions of dollars. Well, for the friends of God, it's quite a different affair from being, of course, a friend of Bill. Except they too, the friends of God, gave and gave. They impoverished themselves, not for some earthly benefit, not to purchase power or prestige or influence, but for the love of God, saints would impoverish themselves, as the apostle would say, freely spending and being spent, spending whatever they had, and finally, like a Mercedarian, giving their very lives. What riches are theirs today? They are friends of God, but they are our friends as well, who spent a lifetime serving our Lord, suffering all sorts of things for love of Him. On All Saints' Day, we heard St. John speak about that great crowd he saw that no man could number. Only some of them are known to us by name, these friends of God. Fewer still have had their cases carefully studied and then infallibly canonized. The church canonizes saints, the true church, I mean. But we must never canonize saints ourselves. Don't be in the crowd of the sillies who say, "Well, she's surely in heaven by now." Oh, how do you know? Private revelation? Don't deprive your beloved dead of your prayers until the day of your own death. And then somebody else will be praying for you. But for all the rest, and there are so many others, aren't there? Real FOGs, friends of God. I mean, people, perhaps even from your own family, who led holy lives without anybody particularly noticing. And maybe they went straight to heaven after they died, shining perhaps there in greater glory than some of the canonized saints whose stories and name we know. Though probably most of them, like the Blessed Claude de la Colombière, the Sacred Heart Saint, made at least a quick overnight stop in purgatory. And he writes in today's bulletin that he was happy to do so. What is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, its windows are one way. The saints see out, but we can't see in. They see us and they are interested in us. St. Paul tells the Hebrews that the saints are like spectators watching a race, and they're rooting for us. They're roaring us on, cheering us to victory. They know what's happening in general terms with us, the saints do, because, of course, they loved us on earth, and that would be part of their happiness. And after all, St. Thomas Aquinas says, these saints see God who sees all things. Yet another aspect of our wonderful union with them. You can privately pray to anyone at all who may be either in heaven or in purgatory at least, but to be on the safe side, you should cultivate the canonized saints, just as politicians do, celebrities and rich people. And the saints are rich. They are our Catholic celebrities, aren't they? But unlike celebrities, they're constantly helping us, the poor. They're rich in merits, you see. They have a high claim to reward from God for all of the holy things, good works, that they have done on earth and the hard things they suffered for love of Him. These treasures they earned, they share with us. Shower upon us is the phrase of St. Therese, comparing the graces she would send us to rose petals, a shower of them. But the richest friend of God, and surely the most generous, is Our Lady. More than a friend, we think of her as a mother, don't we? And so in America, we say most of all, Our Blessed Mother. Did you ever invoke some obscure saint? I have sometimes, with the thought that, well, so-and-so wouldn't, say Tryphon and Nympha, for example. Well, they wouldn't be too busy today. They could certainly hear my prayer. Or the saint we had on Friday, St. Menas. He used to be, his shrine was as popular as Lourdes is today, but now he's forgotten. He would probably appreciate a little business cast his way. But they're all friends of God, after all. But Our Lady, did you ever think how many at any given moment are praying to the Mother of God? The rosaries, the novenas, the Hail Marys, the, in your own words, prayers. And she hears them all at every moment, just as though you were the only one talking to her. She recognizes your voice. Of course she does, because that's what mothers do. They never forget the timbre, the sound of the voice of their children, no matter how many they have. She is your mother. That's exactly how God wants it. And that's why our Lord, dying and in terrible pain, each word on the cross costing him an effort, used four words, Son, behold thy mother. He said to the baby of the apostles, St. John. But that was meant for all of us Christians to hear. And that is why we treat her, the August Queen of Heaven, as if she belonged to us. Because that's how children treat their mother. Thus, the Mother of God and the friends of God, well, the psalmist says in the Masses for Apostles, to me, O God, thy friends are made exceedingly honorable, their principality is exceedingly strengthened. Well, we're close to them, so close that we're said to be in communion with them, and it's a little bit like Holy Communion. Remember from the Catechism, how are we in communion with the saints? We are in communion with the saints in heaven by honoring them as the glorified members of the Church. and also by our praying to them and their praying for us, our honoring them. St. Gertrude was great for this, praising and thanking God for the graces that he bestowed upon his saints. And then she would turn to the saints next and congratulate the saints on their victory and happiness. We remember, of course, that we honor the saints by imitating their virtues. And that's an idea, isn't it? That's really one of the best ways to do it. Also, by keeping their feast days. We're great on that at St. Gertrude the Great. We love to keep the feast days of all the saints as well as we can because, well, we're Catholics. And then we keep their feast days and their devotion sometimes by building, setting up, or visiting their shrines. That's why we have shrines. St. Stanislaus today, for example. Don't be one of those people who sort of zip in and zip out of church. Some people and their children never get a chance to visit the altars, the statues. That's kind of sad, isn't it? After all, the saints don't need the shrine. It only increases their accidental glory, we say. They're good. They're in heaven. But we're not. We need that help. Visit their shrines and honor their statues and their pictures. God's home is full of them. Your home should have at least a few of them. Don't be ashamed of your Lord, his mother, or their friends, the saints. Not only for the back room, living room, some place of honor. Why do we have so many statues in this church? Well, in the old days, the old days, they always did. But at the changes, 50 years ago or so, they started throwing them out, destroying them. And you could pick them up for a song, and very often you could pick them up out of the garbage or from an antique dealer, again, for almost nothing. And that was just the time we were getting the original St. Gertrude Church in Sharonville. And I looked upon our church as kind of an orphanage for the saints. You know how people couldn't bear to turn away a little child. We couldn't bear to turn. We'll find a place. St. Francis, yes. Well, we've got a corner for him. Or St. Benedict. Oh, yes, by all means, do bring him in. How could we say no? They are our family, and we love them. And so the idea of this church was at the beginning a church of reparation to the saints, because at that era, they were being thrown out. And they still are. The glory, the beauty, and the color, the warmth of this church. So we've got upstairs saints, look up sometimes, that's the point. And we have downstairs saints, look around you. They all point towards heaven. And as we honor their statues, at the same time, we honor their relics. We collected them as well, and that's why we have hundreds of them, because as well, they were being thrown away or sold for almost nothing or given away. The altar stone contains little relics of two martyrs, and that's the only way Mass could be said is over the relics of the martyrs. The Novus Ordo forbids that because they don't really have a Mass, of course, anymore, a sacrifice. But from earliest time, the Christians have collected little bits of saints called relics, and that's what's on the altar today, and that's what you'll often see in church, as well as, you won't see it, but they're in the altar. That goes back to St. Polycarp, I learned. After he died, they collected little bits of him, the Christians did, and they honored those relics. And he was a disciple of St. John. And St. John was an apostle to our Lord. That's how ancient is this devotion. And then, of course, another way to honor them, so easy today, and a good uplifting thing to do is to read their lives. Read. So much stuff on the internet is just a waste of time and worse. So much stuff on television, entertainment, oh my goodness. Read the saints. You'd be surprised at how engaging are their stories and how inspiring for us. The saints are glorified. We pray to the saints That's the easy part, maybe. But do you remember ever actually to ask for help? Bring them your wants of every kind, whatever your needs may be. And each saint has a specialty, or every specialty has a saint. Know that too. St. Alphonsus is for arthritis, and St. Catherine for women's cancer cases, St. Peregrine in general for cancer, St. Stanislaus, he's for young people. Every saint has a specialty. Apollonia, we learned last week again, for the teeth. Know the patronages and invoke them accordingly. The saints are, they're praying for us, because remember, we're all in the same family. They plead for our perseverance and salvation. When we get converted or manage to do a little good, they're there on the sidelines cheering us on. Have you ever prayed to a saint? Pray to saints. You will have the experience of having your prayer heard, be it something ever so small as just finding what you lost through good Saint Anthony. They pray for the souls in purgatory. And you can ask the saints to pray for the souls in purgatory too. That's a nice devotion. Well, this is a little bit about what it's like, the kingdom of heaven, from the point of view of the creed we say every day, this wonderful deep communion we feel and we experience with our saints, including our own, the unsung saints. Friends, they're more than friends. Family, they're family on a good day that lasts forever and ever. What's it like? It's as close in a sense as Holy Communion. It is the communion of the saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.